Appreciate the invitation. Great to see so many friends from many years in different roles, and thank you all for coming to town, for telling your story, and being able to keep farmers informed out there. Certainly I appreciate many, many conversations that we've had through the years. So let me just kind of cover a few points and then certainly open it up for questions, try and answer some questions. So as was mentioned, my program area is farm production and conservation. Actually, I got sworn in under a different role. The old title was a combination of Farm Service Agency, Risk Management Agency, and Foreign Ag Service. You met Ted McKinney, obviously, who the secretary followed the direction of the previous farm bill to create a undersecretary for trade. This secretary said we'd like to be able to create a mission area that's customer focused. Let's look at that mission area where our farmers deal with these programs all the time, and so added NRCS to RMA and FSA. And so we have that combination, farm production and conservation. Actually, formally went together. The secretary first announced it about 2 years ago now. Went together over the summer 2 years ago, and then we created as well a business center, taking the administrative functions out of each of those three agencies, putting them together in a business center last October. So that combination is all together. I think we're certainly the program side. We meet together all the time, right in the middle of standing up many farm bill activities. We have joint meetings on how our progress is on farm bill, and so we understand where each other's at. A lot of our programs actually cross over. CRP is one of those programs where it's delivered out of our FSA offices, a technical assistance done out of NRCS, and then certainly the administration at the end of the day is back at FSA. So being able to coordinate the activities between the agencies in the same mission area is a nice thing. These NRCS and FSA have often been together in service centers around the country, but because they're in different mission areas, our IT systems develop separately, some of the rules develop separately, and now we're pulling that together as much as we can. Still, most folks in the countryside don't know what an FPAC is, Farm Production and Conservation. They know NRCS, they know FSA, they know crop insurance, and that's all they need to know. And then, hopefully, our folks, if they go into one office and need something from the other office, can walk them across and get them a hold of who they need in the other office. So this is about making sure that we deliver those programs in a way that's seamless for our folks out there. So that's getting stood up, and we're making sure that that's working. The administrative pieces, that business center side is only about 6 months old. Pulled folks into that business center. They didn't move, but they're reporting to different folks. So we're in the midst of those challenges, and we're in the midst of standing up a farm bill. So you all know we had a farm bill passed last year in a bipartisan way. That's an amazing thing in this town. But it's a great thing for us to be able to have something that they're not still fighting over on the Hill. Over most of it, they're not still fighting over. And to be able to get that process stood up. An awful lot of that is within FSA, NRCS, and RMA. And so we were actively working, even some during the shutdown. The people that were here, our NRCS folks were here, we're putting through rules. You've seen some announcements of some of the programs. We've got some dairy programs. Certainly dairy is the priority program out of FSA to get stood up. We got some pieces of that program we've been able to stand up. We've done some crop insurance announcements as well, and then continued sign up on programs at NRCS based on mostly the 2014 Farm Bill as the rules come together, but those things that are kind of self-enacting can be enacted as well. So I'm kind of actually a trade sandwich here between Greg Dowd and Ted McKinney. Obviously, you know we're in conversations. You've seen the president's messages, the secretary's as well, as we look at the impact of a lack of a trade agreement yet. And we'll see how that all goes. We're in the midst of conversation. We don't know exactly what that'll look like, but trying to assess what the impact is to producers But you've seen the president and the secretary said we're going to stand with our farmers. We're going to figure this out. I think the most important thing they've all said as well is we need an agreement, but we need a good agreement. We're not just going to sign anything. Certainly, if the Chinese back away from some of the commitments they make, then we need to bring them back to the table. I think they're committed to that. In the meantime, we have some producers that are hurting, and we'll figure out what we need to do to be able to come up with some support for those producers if this continues to go on for a while. You know, we had a market facilitation program last year. I guess the summary of that is we had about 600,000 producers that participated, about 1 million contracts, because some of those producers had more than one crop that they participated in, and about $8.5 billion in direct payments. Other money went out in food purchases and in the program to be able to build markets in other places as well. Lastly, let me say we've got some disasters around the Midwest, been active in trying to make sure that we've got some response to some of those disasters and programs that we could do. We need a bill that provides some more funding and some more authorities. We'll see. A bill has passed the House. We'll see what happens here in the Senate. There's some additional authorities in it. I don't know, and I'm not going to predict what's going to come out of that bill. But we need that both for the Midwest, but we need it for those areas hit by hurricanes last year as well. And then later today, I'm headed down to Louisiana to a hypoxia task force meeting. I was involved with hypoxia task force back when I was Secretary of Agriculture in Iowa. It's a gathering of a dozen states up and down the Mississippi River looking at water quality, looking at water quality issues and nitrogen and phosphorus getting down to the Gulf of Mexico, causing that low oxygen zone down there. State plans get together. And then quite a few of us on the federal side as well, probably 6 to 8 federal agency folks that are a part of that, making sure that we're doing things that can help those states get the things done that they need to get done. And in this case, we'll have several of us that are sub-cabinet folks, including David Ross from EPA, I think Tim Petty from Department of Interior. We have others as well, Department of Energy, Corps of Engineers, others that will be a part of this gathering too. So a way to make sure that we're working together, several of us get together about once a month to talk about water issues and water quality issues and make sure that we're coordinating our activities and understanding where we can work together, certainly making sure that if a state is working on something or a farmer is working on something, one of our agencies isn't telling them to do one thing and another telling them to do something else. So we need to coordinate our federal agencies, and that's part of that gathering that we get together, and now we get to do it together at the hypoxia task force as well. So let me stop there and make sure we get to questions, please.
Dustin.
Mr. Secretary, we were in Waverly just a couple weeks ago in Iowa, and you got to see the devastation. There was a lot of emotion, a lot of questions. When you're talking about the fact that people had grain that they hadn't been able to bring to market that just got spilled in the river when it came out, you know, there was a lot of people saying, we don't even have the money to come up with our side if there's a loan program. Has there been any progress made? I know you said you were going to go back and start to find ways to do that. What kind of progress have you seen coming back that these people in Iowa can look at, because they're just barely getting back on their feet from 2011?
So several of the programs that are active there now, emergency conservation program helped clean up some of the debris. In some cases, certainly we're seeing more debris clean up in some of those areas in Nebraska than we are in some of the areas still flooded in Iowa, but we're seeing some of that happen. As far as stored grain, it's going to take additional authority, and the House bill that passed had some authority in it. We'll see what the Senate bill and the conference committee has. I believe there's great interest in Congress to be able to include the loss of stored grain. We'll see whether they do at the end. We know what a devastating impact it is for a producer to look out in the field and realize you're unlikely to get this year's crop in. You got last year's crop that you lost in a bin, and you lost the bin, and you lost equipment, and you had this happen after 2011. It sure is important to be able to cover that if we can, and we've shared some information with Congress. If they're interested in covering it, it appears like they've taken that up, at least on the House side, and we're hopeful that it'll be there on the Senate side, and then we can deliver that. So, thank you.
Susan and then Jeff.
Undersecretary Susan Littlefield from Fairman in Nebraska. You and I have talked about the extent of the damage that you've seen throughout the Midwest. Are you guys worried about what these long-term effects are going to be? As I drive past fields, have 3-4 feet, some of them, in sand. This isn't a this-year-next-year project. This is a multi-year project to get back to farming.
It is, and some of those fields will never be the same again. You know, where you saw erosion, you saw some holes in fields, they'll fill that back in again, and it's still going to be a sandy spot forever. And some of these fields, you won't be able to afford to move those deep piles of sand. Many of those fields will get back in shape in some way or another, but they're, in some cases, going to be different for a long time. So absolutely. And then the economic impact. We all know the producers are coming off of some really tough economic times here, and they don't have the extra resources. Even in 2011, as bad as it was, it'd been a long time since there was a flood, and they had some resources to lean back on. They were a lot more optimistic. And now in some cases where they're having a repeat or a new area that's flooded, the economics are tougher. So right now, economically, it's tough, and then some of these fields are going to have a long-term impact. I don't have any magic in being able to fix that. Our emergency conservation program, moving debris and sand and silt, will pay about 75% of the cost of doing it. It has a payment limit as well. It's not the total solution, but it helps soften that blow for those producers.
As you're writing regs now for implementing the 18 bill, I just wonder if you would review and talk about prevented plant and how big of an issue you see that, especially with the progress that we're showing so far this year.
Yeah, so prevent plant is one of those provisions that we don't talk about much until we really need it, and then we need it. And this year there's a lot of conversations about it. Of course, we all hope it dries off and we can get back in the field, and a lot of places could get a lot done if we get a week of dry weather, or maybe it takes a week to dry up some of the fields. But 2 weeks of dry weather, we get a lot of crop back in the ground. But we're going to have some areas with prevent plant. So right now, those are the standard provisions in the Farm Bill. The Congress was looking at, I didn't see it in the House bill. There was a conversation about whether the flooding in the Midwest, that they'd do something extra around prevent plant to top up some of those provisions. Right now, it's a standard provision. 55% of what your coverage level is in crop insurance is what you can expect to receive if you're not able to get that in by the final plant date. We sure hope planting gets going again, it is an important provision. It does not compensate a producer for the full cost of the loss of that crop, just as crop insurance itself. You know, if you have a year where you gather crop insurance, that's not near as good as getting a crop. But it's an important provision to be able to have. I don't see, Congress did not make any changes. I don't necessarily see anything changing short term in what those provisions are. And I don't see any extra help right now that Congress did in the most recent disaster bill either.
Good morning, Mr. Undersecretary. I'm wondering if you can shine some light on when we should anticipate seeing some additional details on the trade mitigation package. And when we see it, does it look more similar to the President's suggestion, a little bit more heavy on international food aid, or more similar to what we saw last year with the three-phase approach?
You know, I think there's a lot of study still going on. First of all, we've got to study what the Chinese tariffs are going to impact. This round's different than last round. So we have to understand that, and that analysis is being done, the Office of Chief Economists, to be able to look and understand those impacts. We're at a different time of year as well. Last time we were right ahead of harvest. We could know what production was going to be pretty soon after that trade impact. Farmers couldn't make a decision on planting. certainly one of our criteria is not to influence planting decisions for producers by a trade mitigation pact. So whatever we end up doing, we want that to not influence decisions. So I would remind farmers, plant for the market. Don't plant for a package that's yet to be decided what it is. Don't try and guess what it's going to be. I don't know exactly what it's going to end up being. So that's, I guess, the final answer. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like in the end. And really, everything's on the table. There's lots of ways to be able to figure out how to help. At the end of the day, the most important thing is to impact the producers in the best way that we can when they're being impacted. So whether that's purchases that stay here, go overseas, whether that's direct dollars to producers, there's pros and cons to all those pieces, and we're still evaluating.
Joe?
Jewel Gill from Minnesota. Just kind of looking for a general statement from the administration as far as agriculture. A lot of my listeners, they feel like it's not understood what's really going on. I like to tell them they do know. For example, we have farms that are multi-generational. They'll never see a cow, they'll never see a tractor, a farm family again. Or we have a roller mill that closed. It's been up for 80 years. It's gone. We're going to have a Snap Fitness or a Dollar General in that spot from now on. Can you maybe relay some sort of theme or message that there is an understanding of the hardships that are really going on?
You know, after going as a farmer myself, we have several folks at my administrators at Farm Service Agency, NRCS, and FSA are all farmers as well. Still have farms going on back there by other family members. Generally, we went through tough times before, some better times 8-10 years ago, and seen the prices erode, the costs continue to go up, and see some of our friends and others decide to leave the business, or young people decide not to come back. And it is a really challenging time out there. I would argue, you know, just on the trade piece by itself, the acknowledgement of a $10 billion program last fall to support farmers in a challenging trade environment was a clear acknowledgement that there's an impact to agriculture on trade. Does it heal folks? Is it a replacement for trade? No way. Is it rough justice? Absolutely. It's a blunt instrument. You cannot figure out how many people had crops sold ahead and how many didn't. How many still had old crop on hand and we were only looking at new crop. There were a lot of impacts that are hard to cover, but there was dollars that went out the door, and I think that's one of the reasons you saw immediately when problems started to crop up here, you saw the president right away saying we've got to, if this isn't going to happen now, and we thought it was, actually we thought it was for several months, but we thought it was, then we need to think about how we help our farmers now. Now that's not the sole problem with agriculture out there as well. We're great producers and we've had great years here and other place else in production, and we have supply that's hanging over the market already, and then we add the lack of being able to move some of this product overseas on top of that, and that really hurts. So I would say the Secretary and the President have conversations all the time about what's going on in farming country. The Secretary's out all the time to be able to hear and carry stories back. I'll get a phone call from the Secretary when he's out, and he'll tell me, I heard this. Are we doing this? What can we do? And so I think we're very attuned. We don't have all the magic solutions to be able to get prices back to where we'd like to be able to see them. But there's certainly no shortage of being able to understand the tough situation that many of our producers and rural communities are going through right now.
Michelle?
Bill, Michelle Work, USDA obviously coming out quickly with a package here. Does that maybe signal that the administration thinks this trade war is going to last a lot longer?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what it signals. I think the conversations that have been happening between the U.S. and China. It looked like they were building toward an agreement. I was not in those rooms, but I heard from others, and you probably heard earlier or may hear later, that some of the things that they thought were agreed to weren't still being agreed to. And so I think they thought something was imminent, and it became less imminent. Now, I would hope that maybe some tough approaches caused something to change very quickly. I don't think there's any desire for this to go on any longer. But it makes no sense to sign a bad deal either. It does make sense to get to a place where we can trade. And I think there is a great interest by the administration being able to get that done. The president has that interest. I'm sure you heard that from Ted. You'll hear it from Greg. They have an interest in being able to make that happen. Their bosses do as well. We need that to be able to happen, but it needs to be the right agreement. I sure hope it's quicker rather than longer. Right now, we're just doing the preparation to understand if it's not going to be soon, then we need to be able to approach how we help our farmers through another delay in getting to an agreement that could be very beneficial to agriculture and needs to be able to happen.
Time for one more. Gina?
From KICD Radio in Spencer, Iowa. I don't know if this is a question you can particularly have an answer for, but you spoke about working with the Corps of Engineers. Do you know if there's any plan in place to repair those levees that are on the rivers that did break and did flood?
You know, I don't know. I know certainly Governor Reynolds and other governors in the Midwest are in active conversations with the Corps looking at how they can engage to a greater degree in some of those decisions of priorities of the Corps and rebuilding. I've seen numbers that said we have hundreds of miles of levee damage and scores of levees just in Iowa. And we know that's true in neighboring states. And I think that's much of that's on the west side of Iowa. We got issues on the east side of Iowa. And we got issues all the way down the Mississippi River as well and up and down the Missouri River. So I don't know where that status is. I'm sure we'll see some Corps folks the next couple of days. I don't know if they'll have the answers either. There's a lot of analysis that has to be done. In the meantime, we need to push dirt as soon as we can. Some of those areas probably are still too wet to really push dirt yet, but the plans should be made and the priorities should be set so that they can get to it as soon as they can. And I know there's conversations around it. I don't know what the status is. Thank you.